Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Winning Cures Everything. Here's your host, Gary Seegers.
What's up? What's up? Winning Cures Everything. We're going to start doing this every Friday, I think. We're going to have a guest with us. It may be Roser more than once because, we know each other and he's good at this. So we've got Mr. John Roser, Johnny Rose from The Chris Vernon Show, along with a thousand other job titles that he holds. John, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Good, man. You know, since we're talking college football and NFL gambling, my nickname for that, because, you know, there's Vinny Verno, Chris Vernon. There's his buddy Vinny Verno. I'm Johnny the Fish.
Johnny the Fish. Okay. Johnny, we can roll with that.
Johnny the Fish. I think that's what I'm going to go with.
Johnny the Fish.
I haven't found a way to use it yet, because I'm actually going to buy a hat, too, that's got one of those, like, bass fish that sticks out the front of it, one of those 3D hats.
Yes.
I'm actually going to buy one of those. I tried to get one off Amazon, but the earliest it could get here was, like, it's like a month and a half from
Good
now. And I'm
gracious.
Like, what in the world? Like, I couldn't even get it sent, like, next day. Or, like, I could, but it would have been, like, an extra $40. I'm like, okay, I don't want the hat that bad. But I bought like a little kid's fishing pole for like $10 at Bass Pro Shops.
That's perfect.
Over off Sycamore View. Yeah. Because we're fishing for winners, man. We're fishing for winners.
Oh, 100%.
What we're doing here.
And you got some last week. 5-0 against the number last week.
Yeah, man. So yeah, I know it's pretty crazy.
That's you had a killer week.
Yeah, what I tried to do was. Because, like, the week two, what I did is I just had too much spread out. And I've kind of realized I had like, small money on just too many games. And what I kind of realized is when you have, like, the more bets you make,
the more of a shot you got to
lose. You're going to have a losing record.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Vegas wasn't built on everyone winning everything, you know. It's these gigantic sports books, whether it's the Westgate, and I know Circa releases, you know, they put out their lines like early now. They put out their lines before the Westgate does, but Circa is building their casino and sports book. They're building it on Fremont Street at one of the ends of Fremont Street. I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, I've seen it. I talked about it on the show. I mean, it looks like insane.
The most immaculate. That is like heaven.
Well, it's where they're going to host VSiN. They're going to host all sorts of different stuff. Any big time production that comes out there is going to be hosted in that sports book, which is, I cannot wait. I can't wait to get back out there for it.
It's going to be amazing. But what I realized that, it's like the more games you bet, like you're going to just lose. Like you're going to lose them. If you bet, you know, five games, like, man, you got a chance. You can go 4-1, 3-2. You can go 5-0, like I ended up doing last week. But if you bet like 15 games, dude, the chances are you're probably going like 6-9. You know, like that's probably what's gonna happen, and you're gonna end up getting murdered on a couple of them. Whether it was like I had like the under in the Florida State, Louisiana Monroe game or whatever, Lafayette, whoever they played.
That ended up going 89.
I'm set perfect, and then Florida State does what they did against Boise the week before. They just start giving up a gazillion points in the fourth quarter. Game goes to overtime. I've got under 52.5 on Tennessee BYU. The game's freaking 16-13. Like, I've got it nailed. And then Tennessee, like, gives up a 70-yard play.
And then you go to overtime, and you, yeah.
Then you go to overtime, and touchdowns get scored, and the game ends up going, and you just end up getting killed on. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do, you know, Vinny Verno said, pare it down. I pared it down. I just did five things I liked. I had, and the only one, like, I'm really upset about that I won, and the only reason I'm upset about it is because I didn't put more on it, was Ohio State. I got them minus, because I know the line opened at like 14 or 14.5 against Indiana last week.
Yeah.
And I got it at 15.5. I went and got it at 15 because I was like, this thing's going to jump up over 17. It will be over 17 by the time that game kicks off.
And what did it close at? 18.5, 19?
It got up to 19. I think it ended up at 18.5, though.
Yeah.
Somebody probably brought it back down a half point, but I got it at 15.5. And like, to me, that was like the lock of all locks. I don't think there will be a bigger lock all season than Ohio State over Indiana. The people are like, well, Indiana's covered 7 of the last 8. I'm like, dude, the line has never been this low before. Line is always 3 touchdowns or more. Because I've had money on them, I had money on them the first 2 weeks of the season against Florida Atlantic and against Cincinnati, a couple different things spread out, like on Ohio State, whether it was overs, whether it was first half lines or game lines. I've watched more of Ohio State this year than any other team probably. And like, I was like, they are going to kick the living crap out of Indiana. And sure enough, they kicked the living crap out of Indiana. The other one I had Oklahoma State minus, I bought it down to 13.5, bought it from 14 to 13.5, and I had Oklahoma State over 38.5 points. Dude, they jumped up like 17-0 in the first like 5 minutes of the game, and I'm like, all right, I'm going.
And you're thinking this is golden, yes.
Yeah, next thing I know, they're down 1 at halftime, and then like they finally get it going a little bit, and then I think they turned it over.
We had to sweat it a little bit. I mean, it took that last Chuba Hubbard run.
It was a 4th and 1 too, man. It was a 4th and 1, and like the only way we get that is if he takes that to the house. Because if he doesn't take it to the house and just gets the first down, or even if he doesn't get the first down, like, well, Tulsa gets the ball back. But if he gets the first down, well, then like
they're probably not gonna score.
The line, or they're taking.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're taking a knee, and so we got really lucky. That hit me over 38.5 points. That hit that covered the spread.
You know, talking about this and week, then, that terrifies me about Oklahoma State going to Austin. Like, when I first saw the line, it came out at 7, and I was like, I really want to take Texas here. Like, I think Texas is really good. And then I thought, man, and I started looking at the numbers and how Gundy has won, you know, 4 straight in the series and 5 of the last 6, and they always cover as an underdog. You know, it's the numbers are just ridiculous. And I'm like, man, I feel like I need to take Gundy here. Like, I love Spencer Sanders. I love Wallace. I love Hubbard. But the other side of me is like, man, they covered, but they didn't really look good against Tulsa. They hadn't really looked good in any of their first 3 games. You know, they scored a lot. But their defense is rough.
They had some stretches. Yeah, no, their defense is rough. That's what you expect. It's why, you know, when they get into a game against like a really good team and the game gets close at the end, because of how they play offensively, everything is so up tempo. Now with Hubbard, it does make it easier because they've got a stud running back. You know, probably even very well could be the best running back in the country. You know, if not the best, obviously DeAndre Swift's amazing. Taylor at Wisconsin's great. You know, there are some great running backs out there, but he obviously is in the mix for, you know, top 5 running back in the country. He's right there. The kid's amazing. But so that can help them close out games. But typically that's kind of a problem they have, especially against good teams, is trying to close out games. Teams that, you know, a team like Texas who has more talent than them is when you're used to playing that up tempo, and then you got to get to a point where you got to slow it down, which is not the way they play at all. It could be a little bit more difficult for them. I think with this game, like I love Tom Herman. He's amazing. And don't think that he doesn't know. And you know, he knows that Oklahoma State's beat them 4 years in a row. What is it like? haven't they beaten them like five straight times in Austin or something? Or
yeah.
Four straight times in Austin also?
Yeah, I think it's five straight in Austin. It's, yeah, this is, it's a big game
that,
for them.
Yeah. That, to me, I think the play, if you're going to do it, if you want to bet one of the sides, I mean, Texas is like minus 180 on the money line. I'd find a way to put them in like a money line parlay.
Or tease
them. That's one of minus. Yeah, or tease them. I think a minus 180 in a money line parlay, that can also help give more value to your money line parlay, especially if you have like a Georgia at a minus 650 in there, or a Washington State that's at a minus like 1200 or something. That can help, you know, it can help give you a better payout on your money line parlay. Or the thing to do is just, you know what, bet small on the over and just root for points and have fun watching it, you know.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a fun game.
When Texas has they got injury problems on defense, and their defense,
yeah,
even with those guys in, wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination. But
and Oklahoma State could play with like 15 guys on defense and they'd still give up like 30 points.
Yeah, that lines up to six now. So and the money, or the percentage of bets is 65-35 Texas. So
that's still not a crazy number.
No, 65-35 is all right.
Texas is a big name school. So I mean, the big name schools are going to get typically, at least, you know, from the public, the big name schools with a lot of fans are going to get, they're going to typically get the higher percentage of bets. I did see the over under in this game at one point was like, I think 74, maybe 75. And
it was,
I saw it,
so it was at 73 yesterday.
And
it's 72 and a half now.
Ago, yeah, that's what I just looked at MGM's, the Play MGM app, and they've got it at 72 and a half. You know, if that thing drops down a little bit more, it might not. It may just stick there at 72 and a half. It may go back up to 73, but you know, if it went down a little bit, I mean, even a 72 and a half, man, like, would it shock you if the final score is 45-38?
Or even 42-35 gets you to the window.
Right, exactly. 42-35 gets you to the window. Like it, that, like to me, it seems like one of these teams is scoring in the 40s.
Yes.
Like that's like one of these teams is going to score in the 40s.
I feel like that's a given, and that's the fun part
and
about this, right?
And that's why I think the over. That's why I think the over is probably the way to go. Like, because I think even if Texas jumps out on them. And say Texas builds like a 38-21 lead or a 41-21 lead, and they're going to the fourth quarter. Like, it ain't anything for Mike Gundy to just score two touchdowns in the fourth quarter,
yeah,
and Tom Herman scores one, and it's, you know, 48-35 is the end. Like that.
Yeah,
there's no,
it
I mean,
could
there's
it could
100% like,
happen.
Yeah, or it's 41-20, it's 41-21, Gundy gets two touchdowns and it's 41-35, and then, you know, and you're pushing right there, and Herman has to go get like, and Herman ends up getting like, Texas gets like a late field goal to seal it and make it 44-35. Like, to me, it's like, this is going to be a fun game because you know both of these offenses can score, you know both of their defenses have limitations to them, and so... Look, man, in a game like this, to me, it is like, even if you just, like, you don't have to have super confidence in it, because I honestly don't. Like, I mean, so to me, it's like, if you want to put something on it, just bet small on the over and just have fun. Just watch it, root for points, and have a good time.
I think this will be a much more interesting night game as opposed to Georgia and Notre Dame, which is what everybody's talking about, but I just, like, I think Georgia's probably going to kill them. Now I could foresee a situation where Notre Dame, you know, keeps it relatively close, but
I
just think Georgia's too good.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, like, you know, we talked on Vernon's show, and I think you know, one of the questions I asked him and Lane Whitaker and Rob Fisher was, I was like, who's the guy we're going to be talking about after this weekend? And you know, Lane Whitaker said he's a big Georgia fan too. He said, I think DeAndre Swift and the Heisman Trophy is what we could be talking about after this weekend. And I'm like, well, I mean, that's certainly possible. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you see the amount of rushing yards that Notre Dame, you know, has given up so far, and you see what Georgia rushes for. I think Georgia is second in the country in yards.
Yards per run.
Like yards. Yeah. Yards per run. I think it's like 8 point something. And so, I mean.
Yeah. And they're adjusted
and
rushing
yards. And their offensive line
is just absurd.
Yeah. And their offensive line is like, what, they like outweigh Notre Dame's defensive line by like 50 pounds per person. I mean, like, they could just knock them. They could knock Notre Dame's front seven off the ball all night. I think it could be one. Well, Notre Dame may put, you know, 8-9 men in the box. Well, dude, if you put that many guys in the box, Fromm will beat you.
Oh, he will absolutely kill you.
And even if you do put 8-9 men in the box, like, I mean, in Georgia, it's almost like the Alabama thing. And Alabama obviously hadn't run the ball as well this year, but like where they just still, they're so much bigger, dude. They just line up and they will move you back. And
they'll
still get their yardage. I think my favorite play of the week is probably, the line's gone over 14.5. I wouldn't be surprised if this line gets up to 16 by kickoff, Georgia, Notre Dame, because there's so much money on Georgia. I think the play is Georgia -7.5 in the first half. Look, it's Saturday night in Athens. College game day's there for the first time since
a long time.
I think I heard what the Stanford Steve and the Bear were saying. I think it's since like Zach Mettenberger was at LSU.
Yeah, and Aaron Murray. It was like
Georgia down there
2011, I think, or 2012.
Yeah, that's the last time. It's the last time they were in Athens. This is like the hottest ticket in the history of Georgia football. Tickets are going for like $300 to $400 a piece just to get in the stadium.
Oh, and that's cheap. Like the sit. Yeah,
right.
That's the cheap seat.
That's the cheap seat. So this isn't like when Notre Dame played Georgia and when they played in South Bend a couple of years ago, and you know 35,000 Georgia fans invaded Notre Dame Stadium. Like the Notre Dame fans, they ain't gonna be 35,000 Notre Dame fans invading Sanford Stadium. Like that place is going to be game day's there in the morning. The game is not until night. Like that crowd, dude. Notre Dame is walking. Not that they haven't before, because obviously they play Clemson on a Saturday. I mean, Notre Dame plays a tough schedule every year, but like that is going to be. You know, I remember Vernon telling me the story. He went to an Alabama Florida game.
Oh yeah, it was 2010 with Urban Meyer and all that. It was Urban's last year. I remember that.
Yeah, and Vernon said he walked into the stadium. And he called all of his buddies, his gambling buddies, or texted them, and he was like, put everything you have on Alabama. They are going, this place is a freaking hornet's nest. And that's what I think Sanford Stadium is going to be Saturday night. And it is going to, and it's a blackout. They're doing a blackout there. Like, I think Georgia could very well be up like 28-7 at halftime, 28-0 at halftime. Like, I think the thing could get out of hand soon. I also kind of like Georgia over 35.5 points. Like, I think Georgia's scoring in the 40s in this game.
I told Chris the other day, I really do believe that Georgia may be the most complete team in the country. I think that they could win a national championship this year.
No, and you can still get them 5-1 right now to win the national title, which that's not a crazy bet at all. You know, $40 to pay out 200 or something like that. If you want to put 100 on it. To win five, I mean, whatever your budget is, you know, there's value there. There's also value on them right now. I think they're still like plus 180 to win the SEC championship.
Yeah, different books. I mean, like, you can get as much as plus 200.
Right, and like, I mean, you know, they're going to win the East, so I mean, they're there. So it is like all they're going to have to win is that SEC title game, which is obviously easier said than done. We know their struggles with Alabama over the last couple of years, whether it's the national title game or last year's SEC title game, been well documented. But you as an Alabama fan, you know, I mean,
this team has major problems on the offensive and defensive line.
Yeah, injuries too, and they're not running the ball as well.
I'll say this. Everybody jumped on. Yeah, Tua is amazing. But I will say that last week, with everybody hopped on the they can't run the football, all that kind of mess. If you go back and actually watch the game, Will Muschamp put six guys in the box and brought two more on almost every play. And what Saban and that bunch figured out early on was, okay, they're going to leave the middle of the field completely, and you saw slant after slant after slant, and they realized, okay, we don't have to run to win this football game. Like, but if they're not going to back guys off, then we're just going to keep passing it. And even into the fourth quarter, they continued it. And it was just...
Is that because you guys have, like, a freaking wide receiver in Jerry Jeudy who's, like, faster than Usain Bolt?
Hey, you know, of those four wide receivers, he's the slowest.
Human being. There's no way he is the slowest.
Oh, I'm dead set. They talked about it on the TV broadcast. But it's been known in Alabama circles.
I was out at a bar. I had like multiple games going on.
Yeah.
I wasn't hearing the broadcast. Well, no. I know what it was. It was the Memphis game was the one at the same time, and the bar had the sound for the Memphis game on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's he runs a 4.4, and I believe it's Henry Ruggs, I think, is the fastest, and he runs like a 4.27, and then the other two are in the 4.3s. Like Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith,
that's ridiculous.
Everybody on the team is just ridiculous fast. Jerry Jeudy he's fast, but he's more of a quick. Like he will make you miss. Yeah. And he can hit a different gear.
And he can run some routes too. Yeah. Man, that guy's he can really run his routes too, which is one of the most obviously the most underrated thing about being a wide receiver is how good you are of a route runner. He is without a doubt, man. That dude's going to go top five in the NFL draft. There's no doubt about it, man.
Oh, I can believe it.
He's a machine. But yeah, before we got off on our Alabama thing, Georgia. I'm with you. I think Georgia might be. I mean, just because you see like you said the struggles that Alabama has with the injuries they've had on defense, problems with the offensive line, and then Clemson, the Trevor Lawrence has not been he's not wowed anybody. Like five touchdowns, five picks,
And they're still blowing people out. Like it's not.
Yeah.
And they're putting up outrageous numbers. I mean, they put almost 700 yards up against Syracuse. I mean, we're kind of nitpicking here. They just don't look as well oiled as usual. But they don't have to. Like, they don't play anybody.
This is why I think we both kind of feel this way about Georgia as opposed to, say, Clemson and Alabama. Although Alabama's is more because of injury. Clemson looks like a team that's just like, we know we can beat these teams at any point in the game. Georgia is playing like they're a team on a mission. Like they're on a mission.
I agree with that.
They know what's happened to them the previous couple of years. And they are playing like they are on a mission. They've got a great leader in Fromm. Obviously, we know what the recruiting classes have been. So, they're loaded all over the field. It is a shame what happened to Dylan Moses and with the McMillan kid. Who actually from Memphis played at Whitehead in high school. It's a shame what happened to those guys because one of the things as an Alabama fan, like that linebacking core that Alabama usually has that they usually throw out there is like, it is as vicious as anything you see in the country. There's no doubt about it. And, especially Moses, like that's kind of the guy you were expecting to be your leader on defense. He's your highest rated defensive NFL prospect.
But yeah, I mean, he's the quarterback draft of the defense. Like he called the plays for the defense.
Right. And not having him, I do wonder if that comes to, if that really comes to bite you. Who do you guys play first? A&M or LSU?
A&M is in 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I think it's 3 weeks.
That's going to be an interesting one. Cause A&M is, their defense, A&M got the talk of the A&M game, A&M Clemson is that A&M, Jimbo Fisher, make those boosters happy, cover that spread, get that touchdown.
Oh, 100%. Well, it's partly why I think that they're going to handle Auburn this weekend.
Right, but I think the story of that game is, dude, they held Clemson to 24 points.
Yeah.
That defense is for real. And if you go back, because I had a little bit on them against, not a ton, and their opener against Texas State. And, they should have shut them out. I mean, Texas State got the backdoor touchdown with like 26 seconds left. Like,
which,
whatever.
Depending on where you got the number, like it, you either lost it or won it. And
I pushed on it. Yeah. I pushed on it.
Now you got lucky because there were some guys that got, what was it, like 34 and a half, I think, and they lost by half a point on it. But Jimbo typically covers at home. I mean, he is 7-1 as a favorite at home. Over the final number, right? He just covers at home. Like that's just what it is. And Mike Elko, the defensive coordinator, is the real deal. Like I followed him since he was at Wake Forest, and I could always win unders with Wake Forest. Like they'd put up their numbers, but their defense was unfreaking real when he was the defensive coordinator. And obviously, you see what's happened to that defense since. But his protege is the guy Clark Lee up at Notre Dame, and that's kind of what gave me a little bit of pause about that Georgia game. But yeah, Mike Elko against Gus Malzahn with a freshman quarterback on his first road start. I'm all over Texas A&M.
And I think that's I was talking to one of my buddies about it, because one of my buddies is not really that big on Kellen Mond, and I like Mond. I actually do like Mond a lot.
Mond is way better at home, by the way.
Yes, he is. As are a lot of quarterbacks. A lot of players play better at home. But then the other thing too, that home field advantage is real there.
That
is a real home field advantage at what is it, Kyle Field or whatever it is.
Yeah, Kyle Field.
The 12th man. That is a real home field advantage. It's a 2:30 CBS game. I agree with you both. This is what I thought the more and more the week's gone on. It's what I was talking to my buddy about today. I said, this is my only thing with Auburn. How are they going to score?
Yeah.
Because Bo Nix can't throw the ball. The dude's only completing like 52% of his passes, 51% of his passes. It's even less when he's in the pocket. So if A&M is able to keep him in the pocket, and last year what Auburn only had like, what was it, like 19 or 20 rushing yards? Against A&M on like 20, 21 carries,
it was a little bit different circumstances.
Gus can't run the ball.
Yeah, it was a little bit different circumstances. The only reason being, their offensive line was a lot worse last year. Their offensive line is better this year, but Texas A&M's defensive line, I mean, they had a couple of guys drafted. They had somebody else graduate. Like they lost some dudes, so they are really young in the front seven, but it has not mattered. So far, like it's all scheme with them, and they've still got a ton of talent. Like I think that they know how to, and on top of that, they got to be pissed off at the way that they lost that game last year. They were up 24-14 in the fourth quarter and gave up two touchdowns, on the Plains, and just, completely crapped the game away. So it was. It's bad. I think they got revenge on their minds. I like Mond in this spot. I like Jimbo. I like Elko. I like all of it. I like all of it.
And I think the other thing too is I think Jimbo, if you gave him the truth serum, like he knows this is a must win for them if they're going to be able to try to win 8 or 9 games, because you still have Alabama, you still have LSU, and you still have Georgia on your schedule.
You got to get your home wins.
And you've already lost to Clemson. You've got to get your home wins. I mean, look, I don't expect them to beat Alabama, but like, you've got to get this one. You have to, and especially because I have them over 7.5 wins on the season.
So do I.
And that was me just like being like, you know what, dude, I believe in Jimbo Fisher. I think he's a really good coach, and I believe in Kellen Mond. Like, dude, they'll find a way to get 8 wins, 9 wins. Like, they'll just figure a way to get it. Like, it'll just happen.
Chris had him going 10-2
against LSU again. Had him going 10-2. Woo!
Yeah, he had him winning the SEC West this year. He gets a little outlandish on his pick sometimes. But
was he smoking crack?
He goes out on a limb with teams that he really believes in, and
yeah,
I mean, I've seen crazier things happen. Like, college football has been so chalk for so long. He's an LSU guy, so for him to pick Texas A&M, he really had to be all in on it. And he was like, man, I think Kellen Mond is going to take a step forward. I don't think they beat Clemson on the road, but I think that they can get Alabama at home, and I think that they can get one of the other ones. I think they can get LSU or they can get Georgia, and I think they handle everybody else. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, if they beat Auburn this weekend, I also kind of like the under in the game too, just because I think, I mean, Auburn's defensive line is, I mean, God, they're awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I mean, they're pretty stout. Like, I like the under 48 in the game, but I'm kind of with you on, I think I'm going to have a little bit on A&M -3.5, may buy it down to 3. And then I think I'm going to have A&M in a money line parlay too. I'll probably have them in a money line parlay. I may have them. I'm also working on a first half line parlay. And I kind of like A&M -2.5 in the first half. You only got to be about 3 at halftime. I think that's doable for them.
Yeah.
I think that's – as long as – like, to me, I look at a lot of these first half lines, and I'm like, man, these guys, like, all you got to do is be up by a field goal or be up by, like, a touchdown. All right. Like,
that sounds good.
That's easy enough, you know. I'm not getting killed by a hook or anything. You know, A&M Auburn, that's – I mean, I think it's probably the game I'm most looking forward to on the day. I don't know. I also like Michigan, Wisconsin a lot. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. I love Harbaugh, but
I also think A&M Auburn
could be boring as hell. Yeah. I think A&M Auburn could just be boring as hell. I mean, it's like it very well could be 20-13. You know, like that could be the final score. 23-13, like
it could be super entertaining.
Figure out how Auburn's going to score. No, it could be. It'll be the old school SEC football fans will love it.
I am so let's talk about old school SEC football, and I am super curious about your mentality towards, or your philosophy towards a game like this. And it's not huge on the board, but Cal and Ole Miss, it is. I'm looking at Vegas Insider. It is Ole Miss -2, Ole Miss -2.5, and Ole Miss -3 at multiple different books. It opened as a pick'em, and then it quickly moved to Cal -1, and it has gone all Ole Miss. You've got over 70% of the bets on Ole Miss. The high is only supposed to be like 88 in Oxford on Saturday. Where do you lean on this? Like, is it because of a noontime kick? Do you think Ole Miss has a more, more of an advantage? Or, like, I don't think Ole Miss is very good. And I think Cal what's your philosophy on this?
The under? I'm not going to bet this game at all. I actually might take Ole Miss -0.5 in the first half. I might do that just because the first half, you do have the West Coast traveling to the East Coast. It's going to be 9 a.m. on their body clocks when that game starts. It's 11 a.m. time, Central time. It's 11 a.m. where we're located, noon Eastern, 11 a.m. our time when that game starts. That's 9 o'clock Pacific on their body time. 9 a.m. Pacific.
Second half would be when Cal jumps back in this thing, if they do.
Right. Well, and it's not like Ole Miss is going to be like 21 points ahead or anything.
No.
It's not like they're going to have to like battle back a ton. But I think, I kind of do like Ole Miss minus that half point in the first half, just because I could see Cal starting off kind of slow. It also, I mean, it's also kind of an interesting matchup because of the coaches, you know, the Cal coach. And then the fact you have the coordinators for Ole Miss of both
the two Pac-12 guys
coached against them in the Pac-12. Yeah. Rich Rod and Mike McIntyre. And so, I mean, I think that's what makes it an interesting matchup. Look, I mean, I'm probably not betting this game at all. If I do, it'll be that I'll have Ole Miss in a first half in my first half parlay, like, and I'll just bet the you know, because it's going to be like a $5 first half parlay that pays out like something absurd. So the odds that it hits are ridiculous, but it's going to be for five. It's only going to be $5. So whatever, you know, it's like $5 with a chance to win like $3,000 or something. So the odds of it hitting are going to be very slim, but it's just, it's $5. So it's, yeah, it's worth taking a shot on it. I'll do that, but like, I would take Cal if the game was in the afternoon, but because it is that, or if it was like a 2 o'clock kick, which would be noon on their body time, be fine. But the fact that it is 9 a.m. on their body clocks, like, dude, that stuff matters, man. Like, I can't tell you, man, like when I've gone out to the Pacific time zone.
Oh, like, it changes everything.
It does, man. Like, it absolutely changes everything. It, like, I've gone out there and I'm like, man, it's only like, you know,
it's like 9 o'clock. It's, like, what are you?
Yeah, I'm like, or it's like 7 o'clock, and it's like, damn, it's 9 o'clock back in Memphis. And then it gets to be like, man, it's only midnight here, but it's like 2 a.m. in Memphis. And next thing you know, it's like, I mean, it does, man. It, and when you get back, it takes. Like, it took my body a couple days.
I'll tell you what I did this summer. So we went and spent a week in San Francisco. And, of course, everything, because we're out with my wife's buddies and whatnot, and they stay up super late all the time. So we were up until, you know, at least midnight every night, and I was exhausted for the first couple of days. And then, like, my body adjusted to it, and then we came back, and I was home for a day, and then I went to Atlanta for, like, 2-3 days. And, of course, that's East Coast time. So my body was completely shot by the time I ended up actually coming back and staying in Memphis. I mean, it's just, it's a completely different thing. And when you're only doing it for a couple of days and you've got to get up and be ready by 9 a.m., I mean, it is, like, normally for 11 a.m. kicks, those kids have to be up by, like, 7 a.m., which for them would be 5 a.m., and it's, you're not used to it. So, yeah, I could see where first half definitely, I went with Cal on it. Because I just think they are such a better football team than Ole Miss. Like that.
I think they're a better football team. I think they're a better coach football team. I think, you know, Matt Luke is a dead man walking. I heard you say that, you know, if Arkansas would have had Starkle in that game from the very beginning, that they beat Ole Miss, that you think they beat Ole Miss. And I probably agree with you in, you know,
they could have lost last week to Southeast Louisiana. Like, that was not out of the realm of possibility.
Oh, yeah, they could have. 100%. 100% they could. I mean, Arkansas could have lost to Colorado State. They were tied going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Still hung 55 on them.
21.
They got me the cover.
No, I'm with you. So I'm debating it this week. I'm like, well, maybe they finally clicked onto something with Starkle. By the way, my biggest preseason bet was the Arkansas under 5.5 wins. I still don't see how they win an SEC game though. So I do think my under on that'll hit, but like, I kind of think Tulsa kind of handled San Jose State pretty easy. Arkansas's minus 11.5 in the first half.
Oh yeah. And it's 21 for the game. So, which I thought it would go over 21.
I saw it at 20.5 a few minutes ago.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple of lines where it's 20.5. It got bought back down. So, but I'm telling you, San Jose State is so bad. Like, this team is just awful. And it's not totally their fault. That administration puts no money into that program whatsoever. Remember, Tom Bowen was there before he came to Memphis.
Yeah.
And he built that place up. McIntyre.
McIntyre. Yeah. He hired Mike Mayer, now the defensive coordinator at Ole Miss. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, he's the one who hired, who was one of Cutcliffe's coordinators at Duke.
Yeah. So now Bowen understood how to build a football program and make it run. But ever since then, that administration does not give a crap about that football program, and it shows on the field. They are 1-1 right now. They did have an off week last week, But they got beat 2 weeks ago by Tulsa, 34-16, and they beat Northern Colorado, 35-18. And the under, and they've lost against the spread both times. So, like, they're not looking so good so far, and I thought they would be really bad. The only issue is, like, man, Arkansas, like, they're still not a good football team, and that's a huge number. I know they beat Colorado State by 21, but,
yeah.
I mean, it took them 55 points to get there, so.
Right, and that's why I do kind of like the 11.5 in the first half. But, again, like, the other thing that worries you about that is the Colorado State thing. It took them to the fourth quarter.
Yeah, to really get rolling.
Like, yeah, right. Like I need them to be rolling early if I'm going to do 11.5 in the first half. But I mean, it feels like they could be up 28-0 at halftime or 28. But I don't know. Probably won't be 28-0. They will give up points.
Yeah, they'll definitely give up points.
Yeah, so they will give up points. There's no doubt about that.
Well, let's talk about some picks that you got. What do you like in college football besides what you've already given us?
Yeah, so what? I've given you Georgia -7.5 in the first half.
In the first half, yep.
I like that one.
You were leaning the over in Oklahoma State and Texas, but you hadn't decided if you're going to play it yet.
I don't know if I'm going to – if I do play it, it'll be very small. The Georgia first half -7.5, I'll probably play a little more. It's not going to be like an Ohio State Indiana play. It ain't going to be that. I'm not going to play anything like I did that in the Oklahoma State Tulsa game. Nothing's going to be that big this week because I don't love them enough. I'd do Georgia -14.5 right now. I'd buy it to 14. I'd buy it to 14 and take the -120 and to make it -120 and do that. So at least if Notre Dame, the back door worries me with Notre Dame. That does worry me with them. If it gets late, but I said today on Twitter, I was at Jim Dunaway out of Birmingham, a buddy down there, hosts a radio show on WJOX. He wanted predictions for the Georgia game. And I told him, I like Georgia to win 45-20.
Yeah, I mean that sounds reasonable. So
and I think it's more of like a 45-13. I think it's probably 45-13, and then Notre Dame gets a late touchdown. Dude, a freaking cop just drove down my street and pulled into my driveway. And it freaked me. I was like, "What in the world?" I live in a dead end, and I'm like pulled all the way up in my driveway, but it. This happens all the time. These cars think they can, like, get through a shortcut and avoid Poplar Avenue, and they fly down my street, and then they realize it's a dead end.
It's a dead end.
They have to back into my driveway and then go back out the other way. But that just, like, freaked me out for a second. I got distracted. But,
yeah, no.
Georgia, I also like I saw that UCF line went down to 11. I mean, I think to me, it's like it is a weird line. It is weird because they beat them 45-14 last year. Here's what worries me, though. Look, Stanford sucks.
Yes,
like they suck. Like I'm not impressed by the USC win. Like by USC beating the crap out of them because Stanford sucks, and that's what I thought going into the last week. And I kicked myself for not betting the game at all. I got scared off when the line got too far into double digits, but. I mean,
I was the same way.
Pitt was right there with Penn State. Pitt was right, and if Pat Narduzzi wasn't a moron,
they could have won the game.
They could have won the game if Pat Narduzzi wasn't a moron. So, like, I mean, I'm like, okay, is Penn State amazing? No, but Penn State's a top 20 team in the country, and Pitt was right there with them. So,
well, and so the metrics that I normally come up with at the average. Spread on that game is like at UCF -7.5. Like it's not just ridiculous. And against Stanford, it was like, I mean, it was a massive, massive difference. So the analytics like Pitt more this week than they liked Stanford last week. Now, Stanford, of course, because of the name and because you're used to David Shaw covering, that's one thing. But like Pat Narduzzi ain't bad as a home dog either. So
no, it's No, it's also one of those things to me. Like I think if you do bet UCF, you're not gonna look and you lose it. Don't feel stupid, because UCF literally they've been a covering machine, and they literally have kicked the crap out of everybody they play. So like if they do it and they don't cover, you don't feel dumb about making the bet, because they have kicked the crap out of everyone they play. They did beat this team 45-14 last year. So, I mean, it's possible. Washington State minus 10.5 in the first half against UCLA.
I do like that one.
Why will they not be up 28-7 at halftime?
Up
28-7 at halftime?
UCLA is
the only
awful.
Thing I can think of.
Absolutely awful. Yeah, I mean, yards per play on defense and on offense, they are one of the three worst in the country. And
I will tell you this, something underrated. Washington State's defense is when you think Washington State and you think Mike Leach, you just think the air raid offense and they're scoring 60 points a game. Their defense is not like god awful. They
no,
turn you over.
Defense is pretty good.
It is. They were good last year. They had a good defense last year. They turned teams over like crazy last year. And they're pretty good this year. Like, they did a good job against Houston last week.
So their defensive coordinator, they had Alex Grinch, right, who went to Ohio State and then went to Oklahoma. Right. And everybody thought that it would kind of fall apart. Dude, they've got Tracy Clays, who used to be the Minnesota head coach. And he was the one that ended up getting fired because he sided with his players, you know, when the school suspended some of them. All that kind of mess, right? Now, he was looking for a gig, and Leach was like, all right, like, you can come in here. Nobody cares what we do here. Like, it doesn't matter. So all the political crap that went on at Minnesota didn't matter in the Palouse. So, yeah, Leach brought him in, and that defense has not missed a beat. Like, obviously, they're not going to be a top 10 defense in the country because of the air raid.
Right.
But they are legit. Like, that is a legit football team.
I agree, and UCLA is, like, awful on offense, which is so weird. I know we say it every week. Why is Chip Kelly's offense so bad? But they just are, and I don't see how UCLA is really going to do – I mean, like, they couldn't do anything against Oklahoma's defense last week in the first half. Like, Washington State's defense is better than Oklahoma's.
Yeah.
Or at least to me it seems like it is. Washington State. I mean, if you want to take them minus 8, that line. What's weird is that line went from 19.5 to 18.5. That is weird.
I'll tell you this: there's actually money on UCLA, which is still weird, right? Like that makes the reason being the reason why that is because the road team in this series has covered 5 of the last 6. Underdog always does well. The road team always does well. In covering on the road in this series for whatever reason. But UCLA is so bad, like, I think maybe just toss the trends out, you know, because that's what I'm saying.
I'm like, again, see, I try to look at these bets and it's like what I put money on. I'm like, okay, even if this doesn't hit, I don't feel stupid for making the bet.
Exactly.
Like, one of my buddies was like, it texted me today about Florida State Louisville. And I'm like, dude, I don't know.
I'm staying away from that. And once it got under 7.5, like, I was done with
it. Well, and I'm just like, dude, I am not, like, I'm not betting on Florida State.
No, because like, I have no idea what they're going to do.
You bet on Florida State and they don't cover, it's like, you should just hit yourself. Like, just punch yourself, man. You know better. But, like, again, if I take Washington State minus 10.5 in the first half and it somehow doesn't cover, I'm not going to feel stupid about making that bet. Like, dude, UCLA sucks. Mike Leach is awesome. The end.
Here's so let me tell you, you know, when you know which way a line is going and it's going the opposite way, We talked about this, I think, before we started recording, about the Tulane and Houston game, right? And how when a line is moving the opposite direction, you know that Vegas wants everybody to bet. So we knew Vegas wanted everybody to bet on Houston because they had like 77% of the tickets and like 80% of the money. And it was all on Houston. And the line kept going up. It opened at 2.5 on Tulane. and then moved its way up, and it ended at like 4.5. It got up to like 5, 5.5. They pulled it back down a little bit, but still everybody was on Houston. Dude, Tulane goes down, kicks a field goal to make it 31-28 with like 4 minutes left. Houston goes down the field, kicks a field goal with 21 seconds left to make it 31-31. Tulane scored in 19 seconds in two plays and won 38-31. And gets the cover.
Wow.
So just ridiculous, right? Like I don't think there's shenanigans going on, but it's just like, you got to be kidding me, right?
You know? that's nuts, man. That's nuts. You know, I saw, it's like when stuff like that happens, it's like, okay, you got to pause and you got to know. And it's like, somebody knows something there.
Yeah.
Somebody knows. It's just like when you see on like an NFL Sunday, you know, Chris texted me last Sunday morning, and obviously I was home, was not able to drive down to Tunica because I would have, but he texted me and he said, yo, Darren Revelle just put up a tweet and said, some better just walked into one of the sports books in Vegas and put $55,000 on the San Francisco 49ers to cover, you know, 1.5 against the Bengals.
Yep.
He goes, so I think that means good things to the 49ers today. Somebody knows something. You know, if you're doing it that close to kickoff, somebody knows something, and they've probably been holding that bet off all week long that they knew something. And sure enough, the 49ers beat the living hell out of the Bengals. You know, Oregon, since I told you how much I just think Stanford's not good.
Yeah,
Oregon,
this is the fade Stanford year, right?
Yeah, it's just fade Stanford. That's all that is. It's not, I mean, Oregon's good too. I mean, they're a good team. They're not, I don't think they're like amazing or anything.
No, I mean, look, USC and UCF.
They should have beaten Auburn, but they lost to Auburn, and I don't think Auburn's great either. Auburn's a good team. I think Auburn's a good team. Just like I think Oregon's a good team. I think this is about Stanford's just bad.
Yes, 100%. Like, here's what I was saying. USC and UCF both have way more wide receiver talent, but Oregon has the better quarterback than either of those teams, and I think that he's going to be able to pick them apart. Like, I think they will hit – they had good enough players to destroy Nevada. They had good enough players to be able to hit some big plays against Auburn. Stanford secondary is putrid. I mean, they are really, really, like – astronomically bad. And
oh no, I can see Oregon winning this game like 52-17 or something. Like
especially after Oregon, the way that they lost it last year, right?
Right, exactly. So I mean that's one. Here's one. Old Dominion.
Oh, I love this bet. I love this bet.
Old Dominion, but you can get it at 28.5 or 29.
Yeah.
It'll probably go down more because I know one of the pro gamblers gave it out on a podcast. One of the professional gamblers, he gave it out as his best bet. And it's because
I think that was the Bet Virginia the Board podcast, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was Bet the Board. It was Payne Insider. And it's Virginia coming off the Florida State game.
They got Notre Dame next week.
Notre Dame next week. And then what? Don't they have Clemson right after that, maybe?
Clemson doesn't play Virginia.
It's Miami.
Yeah.
It's Miami. Yeah. Yeah. But either way, you're sandwiched, or that Old Dominion game is sandwiched between Florida State and Notre Dame, and Old Dominion has had a week off.
And Bryce Perkins, of course, dealing with an injury. So at Bryce Perkins, you're not going to run him as much as usual. You want him healed up for next week. So, I like that.
This also brings me to another one. Old Dominion plus 17 in the first half.
Huh. I had not thought about that.
I mean, because you've got a team who's banged up from playing Florida State last week against a team coming in there in Old Dominion who's had two weeks to get ready. They're going to be fresh. They're going to be fired up. I could see Old Dominion putting up 10 to 14 points in the first half, you know? I could see that happening.
Yeah, I could see like a 21-10 halftime score. I mean, Virginia doesn't exactly get off to like fast starts.
In Virginia, scoring 21 points and a half is like a miracle if that happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
they don't exactly play that way. Exactly Virginia, Bronco Mendenhall style. I'm going to just go. I'm not going to play it because I'm not going to go down there to be able to play it. Utah -3.5 against USC. Like, it's Kyle Whittingham against Clay Helton. Like, what are we talking about here? The only reason I'd stay away from it is because it's USC, and like, I don't know if USC is going to score 17 points or they're going to score 47 points. Now, I'd like to think they're playing Utah and Kyle Whittingham. Yeah. You're not going to score 47 points.
You're not going to score that many.
I'd lean towards they score 17 in this game rather than they score 47 against Utah.
I think they confused the hell out of Slovis. They get some picks,
I can see it. But it's a Friday night. Reggie Bush is going to be back in the stadium because he's working the game as an analyst for Fox. Their future head coach, Urban Meyer, is also going to be in the stadium working for Fox. So
I don't think that they're going to show out for this. Like
when Utah beats the crap out of them, how quickly do they fire Clay Helton and hire Urban Meyer? Does Urban Meyer even get to leave Los Angeles Friday night?
Oh, well, I mean, he's going to be there for the rest of the season anyway because he works for Fox. Right. He's 10 minutes down the road. Now, they don't fire Clay. They fire Clay after the Notre Dame game. They get midway through. And what they may do, because they still need to hire an athletic director, they're just going to wait until the end of the year and actually do it right for the first time since before Pete Carroll.
They'll just have Urban be both.
I could see that.
He'll be their AD and the coach.
But we're back in the 60s and 70s now.
They'll just have Urban Meyer do both. Okay, here's another one I'm going to do just because I told you I've watched this team more than any other in college football this year. I'm probably going to play this. I'll probably parlay it too. I'll do a small parlay. I ain't going to bet a ton on it. Like I said, I'm not betting a ton on any of these games.
It's not a great slate for it.
I legit had $100 or a little over $100 on Ohio State and Oklahoma State last week. I'm not doing that at all with any of these games. Probably the biggest bet I make, it probably won't even be half of that because I just don't have the confidence in these. So, but I Ohio State -24.5 in the first half. And Ohio State -38.5 for the game against Miami of Ohio. Here's the thing. Ohio State has covered all three first half lines this year. Florida Atlantic, Cincinnati, and then Indiana last week. Ohio State has scored 28, 28, and 30 points in their first halves. Indiana scored a touchdown against them last week. It was 30-10 at halftime. So obviously that would not cover 24.5 in this game. It would have covered the first half spread last week though.
Yeah.
Which I think was like 13.5 or something. Or 14.
It was 10.5. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 10.5. So easily they would have covered that. This one's 24.5. So obviously a 30-10 wouldn't cover this. The only way Indiana got that touchdown was running a trick play towards the end of the first half. That's the only reason they got a touchdown. So I know Ohio State is scoring between 28 and 35 points in the first half. I know that's happening. I've watched them play every week. They're going to do that. The question is, does Miami of Ohio get a touchdown in the first half?
I would venture to say no, and the reason being I went and watched them against Cincy, and they cannot throw the football. They've got a freshman quarterback. That's a really bad offense. They've got a pretty good defense. I don't think they've got near the horses to be able to hold up with Ohio State. I think I like that first half.
Their defense is not stopping Ohio State. Trust me on that. They are not stopping Ohio State. This is kind of why I say why I'm doing this, because Ohio State has, whether it's been the first half, -17 against Florida Atlantic, that hit, or the over in the Florida Atlantic Ohio State game that hit, or the first half line in the Cincinnati game for me that hit, or the -15.5 in the Indiana game that hit. They have covered all three of their first half lines so far, Ohio State has.
Yeah.
So they finally have put the line at 24.5.
But they did it against the team that can't score.
Against a team that can't score. I mean, I think Ohio State's up 28-0 at halftime, 31-0, 35-0, 35-3, 28-3 at halftime. I'll roll with Ohio State. Another one that has also, I bet on them twice, on the two games I could. The other one I couldn't do it because the Tunica casinos, you can't bet against the FCS games. They don't have those listed. But Coastal Carolina has covered their two first half lines I was able to bet on against Eastern Michigan and Kansas. Coastal Carolina is -9.5 in their first half this week against, I believe it's UMass. So you'll be able to bet.
UMass is an FBS team. So you'll be able to bet that.
I can bet that. I'm saying like they played like Norfolk State or something. Coastal Carolina the previous week.
I thought you were saying you couldn't bet this one.
I can bet this one. I'm saying the only reason I didn't, the Norfolk State one, I wasn't able to bet. But I did bet the Eastern, their game against Eastern Michigan, had Coastal Carolina the first half. And I bet their first half against Kansas. And, of course, they won outright against Kansas. But they covered the first half against Kansas, too. The only thing that worries me about that is I've kind of looked at UMass's games, and like UMass, when they score, they kind of do their scoring in the first half.
Yeah.
Kind of when they do their scoring, and then they don't score at all in the second half. So that's why I'm kind of, But maybe Coastal Carolina -16.5. Like UMass sucks.
Oh, they are the worst team in FBS, and it's not even close.
I heard you talk about Troy on your pod.
Akron is awful.
Troy, I love giving out first half lines. I'm just going to be called Johnny First Half from now on. Troy's first half line is like -10.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are they not going to be up 21-3 at halftime? Like, why are they not going to be up that much?
The only reason I would worry about that first half is because it is in Akron. And I mean, Akron needs something good to happen, but I just don't see it. Like, Troy's offense so on the other side of this, Troy's running back is out for the season, and he was like an all Sun Belt, you know, conference offense player of the year, candidate, all that kind of mess. But he had not done like a ton in the first few games anyway. And, you know, like most of this is Caleb Barker, their quarterback. Like, that's who's going to be generating the points here. And I think it continues because Akron's defense is awful and they can't score. Like, the only scoring that they have done is in garbage time, but it hasn't been enough. Like, they hadn't covered all year. So, like, I really like Troy here because they put up points with the best of them. Like, Chip Lindsey is the former offensive coordinator under Malzahn, but he had to call Malzahn's offense. And now he's wanting to get out and actually do his thing. I mean, they're averaging like 43.5 points. So I'm all in on Troy. I think they're going to wipe the floor with them.
I mean, Akron is god awful. Hey, don't Akron and UMass play like next week or something?
Oh, that's a good question. God, that'd be a terrible game to bet, wouldn't it?
I thought I heard that on another pod that Akron and UMass play next week, and I'm like, oh my god.
I bet it's on ESPN Plus, and I want to watch it.
The Suck Bowl. Man, like that is.
They play. Yes, next Saturday.
It's next Saturday. Akron and UMass. Oh, man. Get your popcorn ready for that one.
Good gracious.
Akron and UMass. I kind of like. The only thing that bothers me is it's an 11 a.m. game, Central Time. LSU. That's the only thing that bothers me is because it's so early and I can see them just getting out kind of sluggish at the beginning. But
you could see that, but I'm telling you, Vanderbilt number 126 in the country in passing defense, like efficiency, right? Like they are awful against the pass this year.
Yeah, it's at 24 right now. I'd probably buy the half and make it 23.5, just to help yourself out, you know.
Yeah,
just to help yourself out. In case LSU just decides to win the game 31-7, you know, and not care, they should obviously score more than 31.
No, this would be the case. You never know. This would be the perfect time for them to actually run the score up. Because if they're wanting to actually put Joe Burrow in the Heisman discussion, this would be the week to do it. You got him on at 11 a.m. The highlights are going to be run on every broadcast for the rest of the day. Like, this would be the time, especially against this defense. Like, I could see him putting up 500-something yards this week.
Yeah.
Like, I really think that they would run the score up.
Yeah, I do like LSU in this spot, and I hate betting on LSU. Because it's Orgeron, and I still don't trust the guy, but...
I know. At what point are we ever going to get over that?
Well, to me, it's not even that. I will say what he's great at is he's pretty good at making hires. And that the best hire, and I don't think there's any doubt about it, the offseason in college football was his hiring of Joe Brady
from
the New Orleans Saints to run their passing game at LSU. He was the passing game coordinator for the Saints.
Yeah.
Hiring him away, and Sean Payton was not happy about that either. But they're hiring away Joe Brady to run the passing game to coach Joe Burrow and run that passing game at Ole Miss. That's been the best hire in college football. When you look at what LSU was able to do with Texas, I mean, it's like how they were just able to sling the ball. It's like this is what we've been waiting for, like 8 years from LSU. We've been waiting for this. Like, we know the talent they have. We look up here on NFL Sundays and we're like, wait, that receiver went to LSU. That receiver went to LSU. That receiver went to, like, why can't they throw the ball? Like, I mean, they've got all these awesome receivers. Why can't, I mean, they got freaking Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. and now they're on the same team in the NFL. And you're like, wait, why?
They've always had it like that. It's quarterbacks.
I don't remember one Odell Beckham play from college. Not one.
Well, because they didn't throw. I mean, LSU.
Receiver in the NFL.
LSU historically has run the ball over 60% of the time. Like, that was Les Miles. That was Nick Saban. That was, we got bigger guys than you. It goes back to the Bear Bryant mentality of there's only three things that can happen when you throw the football, and two of them are bad, right? So you got a better chance of doing something when you got bigger guys on the line and you got a better running back. So they just kept it for way too long. Like, football got way past them. It innovated and went past the LSU mindset. And eventually, like, Ed Orgeron is doing the Dabo Sweeney thing. Like, he's the CEO and he is the rah-rah guy, but he's letting the other guys coach him. And it has worked out brilliantly with that bunch.
He's done great. He's done a great job. And I think it's great. Like, you got to be humble enough as a head coach, you know, sometimes to be hands off and just step away and say, I'm going to hire these guys and I'm going to let them do what they do.
Yeah.
And that's going to make it successful. And I'm just going to kind of oversee everything. And you got to give him props for it. The guy has come a long way since Ole Miss and even USC. And so, no, you got to give him credit for it. And I mean, we know they've got the talent. One other one, I'd say Northwestern.
Yeah.
I mean, just it feels like too many points. It just feels like too many points. Like,
yeah, it's 100%. It's at 9 right now.
Yeah, like, who is – it was 9.5 earlier.
Yeah, it was.
Who is Michigan State beating by double digits in the Big Ten that's, like, not named Rutgers?
Chris brought that up, but, like, they only beat Rutgers by 3 last year. So
what the world?
Yeah. Their offense was really bad.
Mark D'Antonio should have been fired on principle just for that. You only beat Rutgers by 3. You should get fired.
Well, and they lost to Nebraska last year 9-6. So, you know, I thought that he would make some actual legitimate changes offense. But all he did was, like, readjust the staff. Just give everybody different titles.
The only thing that scares me is, like, Michigan State could win the game 10-0.
Yeah.
Like, that could happen. Like, Northwestern can't score either.
Well, Northwestern has won 3 straight against Michigan State. And,
yeah.
I mean, they're what, 12-1-1 in their last 14 as an underdog? And the only one was against Stanford at the beginning of the year. And that was just a fluke.
Yeah, this is what worries me. This is honestly what worries me. They lost to Stanford. You can't lose to Stanford this year.
I watched that game.
It was the opener. I'll give them a pass because it was the opener.
Well, and they had to go across the country, and there was just some weird stuff with that. And honestly, like, Stanford lost to a terrible Northwestern team a couple of years ago in the season opener, and then ended up 12-2. And Northwestern has done this before where they, I mean, hell, Northwestern lost to Akron last year at home and won the Big Ten West. So, like, it's Northwestern gets up for their Big Ten games, which, by the way, That's another big thing. You realize that Pat Fitzgerald is on a 12-game Big Ten winning streak in the regular season? Big Ten winning streak in the regular season? Like, aside from the championship game last year, he has won 12 straight Big Ten games.
Wow. Like,
yeah. They're legit, and they don't get respect for it.
I love Northwestern, man. I love Northwestern. I'll roll with Northwestern. Oh, no, here it is. I forgot. I just remembered it because you also loved it, and you made it one of your picks. I saw it's at 7 now, but I'll buy it up to 7.5. Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see how Arizona State beats them by more than a touchdown. Like, coming off that game, that Michigan State game, I will say this, boring as hell, but you know when you play Michigan State, you're going to get beat up. Like, they're going to play physical. That's how Mark D'Antonio likes to play. So, you know Arizona State plays the same way. And I like the quarterback. I like the Montez kid, man. Montez kid's pretty good. Whether I watched him explode in the fourth quarter against
Nebraska
or exploded against Colorado State. That kid's pretty good.
Katie Nixon and LaVisca Chenault and all, they've got a ton of weapons. Like, I think they will be able to put up some points. And Arizona State has not been able to put up points against anybody.
Colorado's defense is not great. Arizona State is not exactly a juggernaut on offense. They don't exactly – like, it's not like they're out here running the air raid, you know. Yeah. They're not out here. Herm Edwards ain't doing anything fancy.
No, not at all. Like, he's going to run the ball, which means he's going to shorten the game, and the same thing will happen. You know, I think at most it is a touchdown game, and that's you're right to buy that point. Like, I got it at 8. 7.5 is a good spot. Even if you just wanted to do 7, and if you end up pushing, then so be it. But this could be a field goal game easily. Like, I think people are way too hyped on Arizona State right now, because the same crap happened last year, right? I mean, you get way too hyped on them, and then Arizona State went out after the win over Michigan State last year and then lost to San Diego State the next week by a touchdown.
Yeah. And again, it's not like they don't do anything fancy. Yeah. You know, you're not playing Alabama. You're playing Arizona State. Like, it's that they're not. It's Herm Edwards ain't doing anything. He's not reinventing the wheel. And I think the Colorado team's pretty good. Like, I do. I think they are. I think they're pretty good. And I think this could be. I think this absolutely could be a letdown spot for Arizona State. Was there any? Oh, we didn't talk about this. I know, man. We've been running a long time here.
Yeah, we're running over an hour. We'll have to wrap up here in just a little bit anyway.
We hadn't even gotten to anything in the NFL either. We haven't talked about Wisconsin, Michigan.
We talked a little bit, but it's I expected more money on Michigan with it being 3.5. And I mean, I just looked it up and there's still nearly 70% of the bets are on Wisconsin. Like, I think because of that, I kind of like Michigan.
The line hasn't gone up either.
Yeah.
I thought they probably would have gotten pushed up to 4 by now, and it hasn't gone up to 4. It's still sitting there at 3.5.
There's a couple of books that it's actually gone up to 4. But not many. And that's what surprises me, is that, you know, you would expect with that much money coming in on them, like, that it would move up. But instead, I mean, it's actually... No, it's 3.5 across the board now. That's at Westgate, MGM, William Hill, CG, Circa, et cetera.
I do think one of the stories we could be talking about, if it goes Wisconsin's way this weekend, I think one of the stories we could be talking about is Jim Harbaugh benching Shea Patterson in this game.
Yeah.
That if he's a debacle, like, and he keeps, like, that dude just fumbles the ball all the time. It's unbelievable. He always just seems the way to let, he just like, let, he like pulls a Clint Sterner like all the time, you know,
like I wonder
only did it once, like put the ball on the ground. Like, this dude does it like 3 times a game. It seems
they fumbled 8 times this year. They've lost 5 of them, which I mean, it's just as likely that they lose 2 of them, But when you fumble that many times, like it's not going to be good for anybody. So
I
wonder if some of it is just they don't care in the first two games. You know, you and I talked about the Middle Tennessee State game, right? And, you know, we weren't super worried about it because they did what they had to do. They only won by 19, but that's like a weird offense. They weren't able to get pressure because Middle Tennessee knows they got to get the ball out super fast. They were getting it out on average like 1.8 seconds after the snap. So there's no time to like get a pass rush or anything like that. And Wisconsin's not going to do that. So you know that Michigan's defensive ends and their linebackers are raring to go after a quarterback like this. And they weren't able to get any pressure on Army because they only threw the ball four times. And two of them got picked.
Right.
So like, I think that Michigan is better than we're giving them credit for. But they went up against some super quirky offenses. And now they're playing just a standard pro style, you know, run the ball offense. And I think they've got the dudes to be able to actually play against them. I think people might be underestimating Michigan here, and like I don't like Harbaugh in the underdog spot because obviously the stat that's been thrown around, he's 0-6 straight up as an underdog, 2-4 against the spread. But you know, one of the two times that he covered as the underdog was when the line was like 3.5, 4. So he hadn't won the game.
I love Harbaugh because obviously I'm a 49ers fan, from what he did with the 49ers, taking us to NFC Championship game, Super Bowl, and an NFC Championship game when we had like sucked for 10 straight years. So I love him for that and always will. He gave me in my adulthood, he gave me like happy 49er years. So that was great. I get that. I also, one of the other things with Wisconsin, though, is like their passing game with that quarterback has been so much more efficient this year than it was last year.
Yeah, he's actually accurate. It's amazing.
but I did hear that they're expecting like some crosswinds, like 16, 17 mile an hour crosswinds.
Yeah.
So that hurts you trying to throw the ball. So if this turns into a ground and pound game, Michigan has not been like amazing against the rush this year. They're like 31st in the country in rush defense.
Which is still pretty good when you're playing, like when one of the two games that you've played is against Army, right?
Right. Is against Army. Yeah. And Wisconsin is like top five in rush defense. Again, they played South Florida and Central Michigan.
Charlie
Strong's not good.
Awful.
Central Michigan's like battling like Akron and UMass, like the worst team in the country.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not, and they haven't given up a point. Here's what I will say. Wisconsin will give up a point this week. They will give up points for the first time all year this week.
That I think I could agree with
for
that.
For sure. they will give up some points. I hope Michigan pulls it off. I'm going to stay away from it, and I'm just going to root for Michigan. Again, because I like Harbaugh. Something tells me someone's going to buy Michigan tomorrow morning or Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to do it. There's going to be somebody with big money that goes in and puts some big money on Michigan.
I could see it.
I can.
Especially if it sticks at 3.5.
Somebody's going
to. Yeah. Yeah.
I can see somebody going in and dropping like 25,000 on them. Dropping 25,000 on Michigan, if it is a straight up pro style game, Michigan has better recruits, better athletes, better players. It is one of these things, man. Like, dude, the reason I can't bet on Michigan is like, dude, I don't trust Jay Patterson. I do not trust him, and so like that's why I can't bet on Michigan.
Yeah, Chris felt the same way. He said he absolutely shrinks in big time spots. And I agree.
I just can't get behind the guy. NFL, there ain't much here, man.
No, there is not. No, and once we get done with these, we'll wrap up the show. But there's nothing on this slate.
I got to get to bed too. I got the gym calling me in about like six hours.
Yeah, 6-7 hours.
Yeah, 6-7 hours. Yeah, no doubt. I'd buy the half point and buy the Rams down to 2.5, and I'd take the Rams.
Yep.
Look, dude, we saw the Titans tonight. The Titans kicked the crap out of the Browns.
Yeah.
And, like, the Browns killed the Jets. So, like, all that made me think was the Jets. Well, okay, they're bad. We know they're bad. And then, like, the Browns played the Jets with the Jets' real quarterback. Like, Darnold's not there. So, yeah, whoop-de-doo. They knocked out Trevor Siemian, and they beat a third-string quarterback.
Yeah, and that Jets like, defense didn't have – Yeah, they didn't have Mosley. They didn't have – and Baker Mayfield's passer.
They didn't have Quinn Williams.
Yeah, and his completion percentage actually went down.
Right. Like, so I think the Rams – I mean, I think the Rams cover that easy. That's the one I like. And your boy, and Chris going to be there?
Yeah, he'll actually be at the game. Yeah, he's flying out on Friday.
Game. I've heard there could be some weather.
Yeah.
Maybe I actually kind of like the under in the game too. I kind of like the under. One of my rules I have in the NFL because I saw the stat last year. If the total is in the 50s. Bet the under because 62% of the time last year totals in the 50s. Now when the game went off and the total was in the 50s, 62% of the time last year the game ended up going under the total. So
well, it has been bet down.
The Rams and Browns,
like
it's been bet down. It opened. It was like
it was 51
and a half is where it opened.
Yeah, okay. Opened at 51, got bet up to 52.
49.
No, it's even further than it's 47 and 47 and a half across the board.
Wow.
I think people got the weather.
well, we were talking about the Michigan game. I saw the Michigan Wisconsin over under got hammered down to 45.
Oh yeah. It's way down. Yeah, it is 44 and a half right now.
Another one that's gotten hammered down, the Ravens and the Chiefs over under. I'm still not going to even take the under in this one, even though my rule says take the under. But that Ravens Chiefs, man, it opened at 56, and I think it's down to 52 and a half now.
People
been hammering the under on the Ravens and Chiefs game.
Yeah, and that's like I played the Raiders and Chiefs last week and played over 52 and got killed on it.
Yeah, man. I should have told you that, man. If the total's in the 50s, just bet the under. If you're going to bet one way, bet the under on it. Because the under, there's been four totals have been in the 50s when the game's kicked off. Four totals have been in the 50s. Three of them have gone under. The only one to go over was the Texans-Saints game on Monday night, the Monday night football game, and they needed 10 points in the final minute of the game to go over the total. So, think about that. And that's literally like the only time that has ever happened in Monday Night Football history where the lead has changed twice inside a minute.
Oh, it was
in the final minute of the
beautiful.
Game. So, literally, it's the only time that has ever happened. Oh, I love that game. I had the Texans plus 7 and I had them over 23 and a half points. I love that game.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine that.
Another one. The numbers tell me to take the Raiders and take the Broncos. Raiders plus 8.5, Broncos plus 7.5. But I ain't betting on Joe Flacco again.
And after that performance by the Raiders last week,
Yeah, and man, Minnesota at home is a different team.
Yeah.
They're a different team. But I mean, again, you know what Minnesota's going to do? They're going to run the ball. That's what Stefanski wants to do.
Well, they will, so long as they get a lead. You know, that's where the problem is.
Right. Well, then Kirk Cousins, he'll throw a pick to somebody.
Exactly.
I did like the Lions, but that Lions game is now down to 6. It's the Eagles minus 6 now, so I don't like it as much anymore.
Yeah.
I liked it when the Lions were getting a full touchdown. I kind of like Redskins plus 4 on Monday night against the Bears just because I don't know who the Bears are beating by more than 4 points. So,
yeah, you know, I mean, you got a point there. That offense is
somebody by
that offense is terrible.
But you and I talked about this game off the air, and like that, it is like you know, have the Bears gotten a defensive touchdown yet this year?
I don't think so, not yet.
Well, it is. Well, they didn't score a touchdown in the first week against Green Bay,
and they only got one last week.
I don't think they got one last week.
So
right,
yeah, it was the offensive touchdown last week, but
due for a defense.
Yep, especially against Case Keenum.
They can be due. They can be due for a defensive touchdown. And over, I will say, Patriots-Jets, I think it's 23.5 is the first half total. I'd probably go under that. Patriots Jets under 23 and a half in the first half. I probably would do that.
Yeah, because I don't think the Jets score, and I think New England takes a little bit to get rolling.
Probably, I think New England's probably up 14-0, 17-0 at halftime. Like, I mean, that's 21-0 at halftime. But, like, they took a while to get rolling last week. If you want to take the Patriots minus, like, 13.5 in the first half, that's not bad. The Cowboys are, like, minus 12.5 in the first half against the Dolphins. Not a bad one either. I'd expect both of those. I expect the Patriots and Cowboys to both be up by two touchdowns at the end of the first half. So those wouldn't be two bad ones either. I'm 8-3 in the NFL this season, man.
Yeah, you killed them.
But I think one of the reasons this is why I'm very particular about what I bet in the NFL because it's so freaking hard. I think I look at everything so hard. Like I look at it so much more and I'm like, okay, No. All right. Yeah. Okay. The Rams. I'm like, okay. The Rams only got to win by 3 points. All right. Cool. I'll take that. It's the freaking Rams. They only got to win by three. I'll roll with that.
Yeah. I mean, you look for where there's the biggest advantage.
The main one I like is. Yeah. The main one I buy the Rams from 3 to 2.5. Just because the reason you do that is just so many NFL games end up in like a field goal game.
Oh, yeah.
I think they'll probably win by more. I think they'll win by more than three. I think the Rams probably beat the Browns by like 10. But
Sunday Night Football there for the first time in a decade. Yeah, there's weird things could happen.
Weird things can happen. There's no doubt about it. Weather could be a little bit of an issue. I heard there could be some rain. That could be a problem. The Rams offensive line is not great, and Myles Garrett seemingly loves to, like, you know, personal foul calls, but also sack you, and, like, he looks like the most unbelievable defensive football. He looks like freaking Lawrence Taylor out there.
Yeah.
He's so ridiculous. Jared Goff.
That was one of the things, Chris was so frustrated in the offseason. Because there was nowhere that he could find where you could bet on Defensive Player of the Year odds. And he wanted to bet Miles Garrett for Defensive Player of the Year. And you can't find the odds anywhere. Like that the prop isn't out.
Yeah. So I looked and I found Defensive Rookie of the Year odds.
Yeah, you can find all the rookie stuff.
Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could not find Defensive Player of the Year either because my pick would have been Bradley Chubb. I was gonna roll with Bradley Chubb.
I could see that. The only issue is the team is so bad. I don't know.
Yeah, the team is bad. Well, hey, the Browns might be pretty bad too.
Now everybody hyped up the Browns.
I'm glad I didn't jump on that hype train, man. I was like, they ain't won nothing yet, man. Yeah. Everybody's just getting too excited because it's Baker, and he talks a lot, and they get Odell Beckham. But I'm like, they ain't, to quote the great Tony Allen, they ain't ever won nothing.
It was Delanie Walker, the Titans tight end, after the game. They said, they are who we thought they were. Like, they are who we thought they were.
The Denny Green.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah. Paid homage to the late, great Denny Green, yeah.
Absolutely. Shout out to Denny Green. All right, so what do you got to finish up here so we can go on and get out of here and both of us go get in the bed?
All right, here. Final pick. We're going to do Georgia minus 7.5 in the first half.
Okay.
We're going to do Ohio State minus 24.5 in the first half. Yeah, let's do Ohio State minus 38.5 for the game.
Okay.
This is basically – those lines are huge. I know they are. But Ohio State has worked for me so far this year every week. So I'm going to roll with them again.
Riding them until they buck you.
Exactly. Let's go Washington State minus 10.5 in the first half. And let's go Colorado plus 7.5. And let's roll with that Texas-Oklahoma State over. Let's do it. Over 72.5.
We know Gundy's going to score points. NFL, we know.
Yeah, in the NFL, we'll do the Patriots-Jets under 23.5 in the first half, and we'll do the Rams. We'll buy it down to 2.5. We'll do the Rams minus 2.5.
All right, I like it. All right, that's going to wrap up the show. He is John Roser. He is Johnny the Fish. He is Johnny First Half. Go check him out on the Chris Vernon Show. He is the, what is it, executive producer or just producer? Do we have a nice big title?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, just Renaissance man.
You can get him on Twitter at John_Roser. If you haven't already, subscribe to the show. We're on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever your favorite podcast app is. Go over to the website, winningcureseverything.com. The show brought to you by Tunica, Mississippi, the South's premier sports gambling destination. Go check them out, tunicatravel.com. That is going to wrap it up, and we are out of here.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.